Morning. Today's daf and Baba Basra's Kuf Mem Aleph. We did the Mishnah yesterday. Let's do the Mishnah again very quickly. The Mishnah is going to be discussing where a man has sons, daughters, and somebody who is not a specific gender. I'm going to read the Mishnah inside. The Mishnah begins. A person leaves a son or daughter in a tumtum. Tumtum is somebody where the gender is not known because there's a membrane that is covering the genitalia. And so therefore it's not known whether it's a male or a female, or as we're going to be discussing a little bit later on this morning, it could be option C, which is its own independent entity. So the Mishnah says, if it's nechas merubim, remember we started the new parak yesterday, and we outlined the basic difference between a man leaving a large estate versus a man leaving a small estate. A man leaving a large estate and leaving children, sons and daughters, so the succession of Yerusha is very simple. The sons are going to inherit, and the daughters are going to get supported by the estate. That's the baseline halacha. Then we also learned yesterday, nechas mu'atim, that if the father dies and leaves a small estate, and it's not enough to support everybody until they grow up, so then the chachamim intervene, and the chachamim made a takana, and the takana's chachamim is that the daughters are going to inherit the Yerusha, and the sons are going to have to go knocking door to door. So as a way of protecting the dignity of young girls, so the chachamim instituted and legislated what is going to a change about in the Yerusha. So where the Mishnah over here is just discussing the same basic idea with just a simple wrinkle, and that is that one of the children is a tumtum. So in the case where a father leaves nechas merubim, if he leaves a lot of estate for his children, and one of them is a tumtum, so the sons dochen oso eitz on the keva. So the sons say to the tumtum, look, we don't know if you're a male, and so therefore you're not going to inherit together with us. You'll go with the girls, meaning you'll get supported by the estate, but you're not actually going to inherit the estate. Nechasim mu'atim. Now, what if it's the other way around? What if it's the father dies with nechasim mu'atim? And the kevus dochenos, so it's a zecharim. So the girls say to him, there's no good pronoun. So for the tumtum, it. So I guess that's the best pronoun. So the girls say to the tumtum. Now let me just not use a pronoun. Okay, no need for pronouns. So the nechasim say to the tumtum. Sorry, nechasim. Thank you. The nekevos, the girls say to the tumtum, look, we don't know if you're a girl, so nechasim mu'atim, we inherit, but we don't know you're a girl, so you go over to the boys and you go knocking door to door. The Mishnah, right, the Mishnah's case of tumtum is a little bit easier just simply because, it's right, in other words, it's a state of unknown. L'chor would be the same thing by an androgynous, but maybe not. You can make arguments either way. Okay, but the question... the question's fair, meaning... Right. In other words, same basic idea. But over here, though, it's just easier to discuss because unknown. And because you're unknown, so therefore, we're just going to put you to the other side. Ha'omer, now the next part of the Mishnah, which is not really relevant to today's daf, but it's the Mishnah, so we're going to read it. I read it yesterday. Ha'omer, telad ishti zachar yitomana. Actually, that's not true. Later on this morning, we're going to do cases that are similar to this case of the Gemara. Okay, I take it back. All right. Ha'omer, telad ishti zachar yitomana. Yalda zachar yitomana. So a man says that if my wife gives birth to a male, so Yitomana, give him 100. So that was his condition, and if the condition is fulfilled, so Yitomana, so you're going to give your son a money. Nekeva Masayim, Yalda Nekeva Notas Masayim. For a girl, he pledges 200, so the Gemara says, fine, so I have to give his girl 200. Im Zachar Manim Nekeva Masayim V'yalda Zachar Nekeva. If let's say he goes on both, in other words, now the Rashbam, I mentioned this yesterday, I'm not going to go through it right now again. I didn't go through it yesterday, I'm not going to go through it again today. The Rashbam talks about where he doesn't think this is talking about a case of twins. Whatever the case is, in other words, but he declares, if it's a boy 100, if it's a girl 200, so Zachar Notoman Nekeva Notalas Masayim. So if it's a male, it's 100, it's a female, it's 200. Yalda Tumtum Eino Notel. Now if it's a Tumtum, so nothing. So not 100, not 200. The obvious question, of course, is that, it's one or the other, isn't it? Okay, so stay tuned. We're going to ask that question. We're going to respond to that question later on. Now, if he does not assign a money award to a gender, he just simply says, whatever my wife gives birth to, so then, so under those circumstances where he's just looking for a birth and is not speaking to a gender, so then obviously the tumtum child is going to receive.
Huh?
whatever he pledges, whatever he specifies. The main sham yarish alahu yarish has to call. Now, if the tumtum is the only child that he has and he dies, so then the tumtum is going to be yarish. He's going to inherit. So, right, if it's a boy, he'd inherit. If it's a girl, he'd inherit. And as we discussed yesterday, and again, we're going to be discussing a little bit later on, even if it's option C, still going to inherit. The Rashbam, I quoted yesterday inside. The Rashbam addresses that even if it's option C, but still encrypted in the Torah is the idea that whatever child you have is going to inherit you, again, within a line of succession, but whatever child you have, even if that child is neither male nor female, like the Tumtum. Okay. The Gemara starts off, this is new, we didn't do this yesterday. So the Gemara says that, look, in the event that there were the man had a son, a daughter, and a tumtum, so he gets pushed off. Now, does he get pushed off in both directions? Meaning the Gemara addresses a very simple point, which is, look, the fact that it's unknown what gender he is would seemingly indicate that both parties, meaning both the boys and the girls, could basically say to him, no, you're not with us. So that's the Gemara's discussion. So dochanos of Vishakul Kabasa Katani Seifa. Yalda Tumtum Eino Notel. So the Gemara points to the second half of the Mishnah, which is that if you give birth to a Tumtum, he doesn't take it because he's not a boy, he's not a girl. So Amar Abai dochanos of Einlo. So Abai says, okay, that's how we're going to understand the Mishnah. Meaning the first part of the Mishnah, which says that they push him off, meaning the they in the Mishnah is both. Both the boys are going to push him off and the girls are going to push him off. The boys are going to push him off saying, look, you're not a boy. You're not going to inherit. The girls are going to say, look, we get supported because we're girls. You're not a girl. So you're not going to get supported. So the Abai's understanding of the Mishnah is yes and yes. Both groups are going to push him off for the reason that because his gender is not known, so both have a legitimate claim of why you are not going to be receiving the monetary award that we are going to be receiving. Rava Amar Dochen Osov Yeshlo. So Rava says no. Rava says that he is pushed off, but yeshlo. But he's going to receive something. He's going to receive something. Why? So take a look at the Rashbam over here. The Rashbam writes mimanafshach because I'm reading the Rashbam inside. The Rashbam writes because let's consider the suffix zacher suffix nekevahu because again it's binary. It's not binary, meaning it doesn't have to be binary, but right now we're assuming it's binary. It's either he's a boy, he's a girl, it's just simply it's an unknown, but what is unknown is one of two possibilities. The Yito Kapacha Shebehem, the Deloper Yahu, it's either going to be a boy or a girl. So if the boys are going to tell him you're not a boy, so that by definition means he's a girl. And if the girls tell him you're not a girl, that by definition means he's a boy. So whatever is the lesser of the entitlements is what he's going to be received or what it is going to be receiving. But but Rava says, but you can't push him in both directions. Now, the Rashbam points out, it's an obvious point, but the Rashbam says it. Look, in the second case of the Mishnah, where it's the Chasim Oatim, where the estate is a small estate, so then the girls push him off, and then what? Well, then, of course, he gets nothing. But the other boys don't get anything as well, because they're going knocking door to door. So in that case, clearly, when the girls push him off, he's getting nothing. But when Rav is saying that he gets pushed off and he gets at least the lesser of the two, that's the first case of the Mishnah, where the boys are pushing him off from inheriting the estate, so now he's going to be then sidelined with the girls, who are going to be receiving the support from the boys. And he'll get that as well, or it will get that as well. Okay, and the Rashbam goes on, but right now we'll stay on point in terms of in terms of the Gemara. The Rashbam is addressing the next part of the Gemara, which we're going to address right now. Okay, so we're back to the Gemara. So what we have in our Gemara right now is a machlokes between Abai and Rava, in that when the tumtum is there amongst siblings who are both boys and girls, so a machlokes between Abai and Rava in terms of whether he gets fully pushed away from the Yerusha or just at least from the greater of the two. So Abai says he gets fully pushed away, and Rava says no, he only gets pushed away from the greater of the two. Now Vaseifa, the Gemara says now, there's the next part of the Mishnah. Now the next part of the Mishnah talks about where clearly the Mishnah is entertaining the idea that the Tumtum is neither a boy nor a girl, but rather a third option, what we would call in Halacha Birya B'fnei Atzma, an independent entity. Not a male, not a female, but just a third option. Something which is neither. And we know that because the Mishnah says that in the event that the father pledges money, if it's a boy, it'll be 100, if it's a girl, it's 200, and out comes the tumtum, he gets nothing. So clearly, the Mishnah is operating with the second half of the Mishnah is operating with the understanding that a tumtum is bifne atzma. Now the Gemara notes that, and the Gemara is pointing at that out right now. V'seifa nasan l'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now as far as the second half of the Mishnah is concerned, it is adopting the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Ditanya. It's a, we have in our Gemara the word Ditanya, the correction on the side is Ditnan. It's not a Braisa, but rather it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah. Now we can go back to the Rashbam. I'm not going to read the Rashbam inside, but it's a Mishnah in Temura, which describes the following scenario. Just a little bit of background before we do the Mishnah in Temura inside, and that is the following. When you have an animal that gives birth, the firstborn male that comes out of this animal is a Bechor. And a Bechor, which has Kedushas Bechor, meaning without you doing anything, without you being Makdish, the animal that comes out is now a Karban. And it's Matnas Kahuna, and you give it to a Kohen. And that's it. You lose the first animal that comes out. It's given to the Kohen. Kohen's makriv on the Mizbeach, and eats part of it in the Beis HaMikdash as shlamim. Okay? The entire Masechta dedicated to this topic of discussion called Bechoros. Not the whole Masechta, but okay. Anyway, the Mishnah in Temur is discussing the following scenario. Can you preempt, meaning that this animal is about to give birth, but you don't want the animal that comes out as Kedushas Bechor. Is there any way you could preempt? And interestingly enough, the answer is yes, you can. In other words, what can you do? You could be Makdish Berechem. In other words, the animal only receives Kedushas Bechor upon emergence. So that means prior to its emergence, it doesn't have any Kedusha whatsoever. So what you can do is you can imbue Kedusha into the animal prenatal, and that way when it comes out now, because it already has a new Kedusha, or I should say better, a previous Kedusha, so therefore the Kedusha's Bechor doesn't take effect. Now, is this a way of subverting the Kedusha's Bechor? The answer, of course, is yes, it is. And in Halacha, it's what we generally refer to as Harama. It's deception. Deception is not a good translation, because this is a legitimate, it's subterfuge, it's a legitimate loophole of you being able to take away the Kedushas Bechor simply by introducing a new Kedusha into the animal prior to its birth. Fine. And right. The Gemara and Temura gets on to those types of discussions. But yes, for our purposes right now, the answer is simply yes. And so, now with all that in mind, meaning now with that background, let's take a look together inside. Yalda Tumtum Vajragana. So, you said before the animal comes out that if it's a male, it's going to be an Ola. If it's a female, it's going to be a Shlomen. And then what comes out of the animal is a non-specific gender, either tumtum or androgynous. Here, Phil, by the way, the Mishnah talks about both. Okay, so Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ditanya, yalda tumtum androgynous, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, ein kedusha chala aleihem. So, if what comes out is either tumtum androgynous, so in terms of, is it going to be an ola, is it going to be a shlamim, the answer is no. No and no. Meaning, Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that a tumtum is a birya b'fnei atzma. It's its own independent entity. And so, out did not come in a male, out did not come in a female, out came out a third option. It was a tumtum, or it was an androgynous. So you see that, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, a tumtum is a categorically third option. So our Mishnah, at least the second half of our Mishnah, is certainly adopting the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel.
You can still benefit from the animal.
What's going to be the result of that? I'm not sure. Meaning, in terms of that particular scenario, I don't know. It's not going to be a Bechor. So, yeah, maybe. Anyway, the Meitzvei. Second to last line on Kuf Mem Amud Beis, the Gemara challenges based on a Braisa. Tumtum Yoresh Keben, V'Nizon Kebas. So, a Tumtum can inherit like a son, and he's going to be supported like a daughter. That's the Braisa. It's a short Braisa. It's a little bit confusing, but Bishlam Rava Yorish Keben Menachasim Watim Venizon Kebas Menachasim Merubim. According to Rava, we'll say a very simple pshah on the Braisa and a very good pshah on the Braisa. Meaning, Yorish Keben inherits like a son, that's Nechasim Watim. Meaning, you know what happens when the estate is small? The sons don't inherit. Well, this tumtum will be in that scenario, because the girls will say to him, look, you're not a girl, and we are now inheriting because it's Nechasim Mo'atim, so you're going to be with the boys. Meaning, just like the boys are not going to inherit, you're not going to inherit as well. And then, V'nizom kebas b'nechas merubim. And if the estate is great, so that means that the sons are inheriting, so the sons are going to say now to the tumtum, well, look, you're not a boy, you're not going to be inheriting with us, you'll get support like the girls. Okay, and the girls cannot push him off. So this brisa, the pshat that we just gave in the brisa, works out very well for Rava. Elala baye my nizon kibas. So the Gemara says now, but according to Abaye, what does that mean? Remember, according to Abaye, he gets pushed off, or it gets pushed off, in both directions. The sons say you're not a son, therefore you're not going to inherit. The girls say you're not a girl, therefore you're not going to get supported. That's Abaye's viewpoint, but that doesn't work out in the brisa we just learned together. So, ulatamech l'rava ma yorish keben. So the Gemara says, well, according to Rava, the language of the brisa is not so perfect anyway. Because what did Rava say, what did the brisa say, yorish keben? Yorish keben, meaning, what was the pshat that Rava offered in the brisa? If it's nechasim o'atim, so I'll inherit like a son. Well, he's not inheriting. He's not inheriting. So really, the brisa, if it was more exacting in its language, should say something more like, it's not inheriting like a son. But the brisa's language is inheriting like a son. The language doesn't work out so well for Rav as well. My yorish keben ela roy liyorish ve'ein lo. So what the brisa means is, I mean, according to Rava, this is clearly what you're going to have to say. You know, stands to inherit, but is not going to inherit. So that's the pshat of the brisa according to Rava. So Abaye says, once we're here, so you know what? I'll say a very similar pshat for me as well. Hachanami, roi lezon ve'ein lo. So when the brisa says, is going to get supported, what the brisa means is, in theory should get supported, because he's not going to be inheriting the estate, but he's not going to get supported as well, because again, the girls could say to him, you're not a girl, so therefore you're not going to get supported as well. That's my pshat in the brisa. So Abaye will basically say to Rava, look, you had to you had to adjust a little bit of the meaning of the brisa. I too will adjust a little bit of the meaning of the brisa. Okay, so the machlokas stands between Abaye and Rava in terms of this tumtum. Is he going to be receiving nothing? That's Rava Shita. Or is he going to be receiving... is he going to be receiving nothing? That's a Abaye Shita. Is he going to be receiving the minimum of the two? That's Rava Shita. And at this point in time, the Gemara concludes by saying, I could hear both pshatim. Ha'omer imyalda ishti zachar. Okay. The Mishnah talks about a scenario where the father is making a financial commitment to his child, to his unborn child, in the event that if it's a male, I'll get 100. If it's a female, I'll give 200. So, you know, money talks. Money does a good job in terms of telling people how they feel, right? Money's good in that regard. Now, money does, has a hard time lying. So the so if he's offering 200 for the female, so clearly he's more excited about the female than that of the male. And the Gemara just simply is making now a very simple and good observation that our Mishnah is clearly working with the understanding that having a girl is better than having a boy. So the Gemara quotes in the name of the Rashbi, right? Remember Rashbam, we did it a number of days ago in the Daf, that when you see the word Mishum, the Rashbam told us, it's funny, I always thought that Mishum meant, it wasn't that direct Mesorah, but he heard it from somebody who heard it from, etc., etc. The Rashbam earlier, forgive me, I forgot which Daf it was, the Rashbam earlier said that the word Mishum means that Rav Yochanan heard it from the Rashbi, but Rashbi wasn't his Rebbe Muvak, wasn't his chief Rebbe, so his main Rebbe. So that's why I use the word Mishum, as opposed to Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rashbi. Anyway. The Rav Yochanan quotes the name of the Rashbi, Kol Sheina Manich Ben LeYerusha Kosh Baruch Hu Malei Alav Evra. We did this back in the beginning of the 8th parak of the Masechta, which is that if a person does not have a son, in order so that when he passes away, his estate will go over to a son, Kosh Baruch Hu is angry with that person. We already pointed out back then, I'll say it again right now, we're not talking about the person who attempted and just didn't, because controlling gender is something that's beyond our control. The Gemara is talking about somebody who deliberately doesn't even make an attempt. So, a person does not have a son, Kosh Baruch Hu is angry with that person. And the drush goes like this. The Torah says that if the person doesn't have a son, it passes over to the daughter. But the language used in the Torah is Vahavartim. And Vahavartim is the root of the word also is evra, which means anger. V'ein havara ela evra shenemer yom evra hayomahu. Gemara quotes a pasuk in Sefanya, which talks about that fateful day coming up ahead, where it's Yom Evra. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be extraordinarily angry. So, very clearly, Rav Yochanan, quoting the name of the Rashbi, says that there is great anger on the part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu for someone who doesn't attempt to have a son. So clearly, there is a positive benefit to having a son, and one would easily therefore conclude that having a son should be more favorable than having a daughter, at least from a financial standpoint. Again, the Mishnah says 200 for the daughter, 100 for the son. If there is a great benefit to having a son, so then you would think that the money should go in the other direction. So the Gemara says, Linyan Yerusha ben Adifalei, Linyan Harvacha Bito Adifalei. So the Gemara is going to give a number of suggestions. One suggestion of the Gemara is that, look, in terms of Yerusha, obviously it's good to have a son, because your son is going to inherit. And he's going to be Yerush, and he'll be Mamale Makam. He, not literally, but he steps in your shoes. He basically passes on the tradition of the financial estate, of the family estate. So from that standpoint, that's why Ben is better, son is better. But when it comes to support, meaning, you know, your girls are going to need more support than the boys are. So therefore, when you start this trust fund for your child, you're going to put more in for the girl than you are for the boy. That's all. In other words, that could be the simple explanation of the Mishnah. Shmuel amar hacha b'mevakeres askinan u'kid rav chista. Shmuel gives a different understanding of our Mishnah, and that is that this isn't just any child, but rather it's the first child. And what he's hoping for the first child, is that the first child come out to be a female. Why? Ukid Rav Chista, Dam Rav Chista, Bast Chila Siman Yafel Labanim. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Chista that having a daughter first is good. It's a Siman Yafel Labanim. It's a good sign for the boys. What does that mean? The Gemara itself is going to give a couple of explanations. Igida Amrei Demaravya LaAchal. So one explanation, very pragmatic, is that, look, when you have the daughter first, so what do you have now? You have somebody helping take care of the children. Meaning, you have more help in the house, right? When you have son first, so right, this is the route I went. Again, not because, you know, it's such an interesting Gemara. Things we have no control over, and yet the Gemara says, you know, this is good, this is better. Okay, so, but the route that I took in life is that I had boys first. So I didn't have this benefit of having people help raise others. But the Gemara says that when you have girls first, so that's good because they help raise the younger siblings. Igadamri de lo shalta be enabisha. Or the Gemara gives another explanation, another suggestion is that no longer subject to ayin hara. No longer subject to ayin hara. What does that mean? Presumably what it means is that when you don't have a firstborn son, so that firstborn son is not going to get the pishnayim. He's not going to get the double portion. So it's just, it's the nature of people where everyone else is getting one portion and somebody else is getting a double portion. Everybody else is now affixing their ayin hara on the one who received the double portion. So if the first one that comes out is not a boy, so no worries, no problems. Okay. So Am Rav Chista Uli Didi Bantan Adifanli Bim Banai. And then Rav Chista makes a statement which, if he never would have said it, I wouldn't have believed it. But he said it, and the Gemara quotes it, and that is that I like my daughters more than my boys. Okay. What does that mean? The Rashbam himself has a really difficult time understanding what he means by that. So, right, the Eastam Afarshi, I'm reading the Rashbam inside. I'm Rav Chisali Didi Bantan Adifan Li. My daughters are more beloved to me, so they're more preferred for me. Eastam Afarshi Rav Chista Ben Mevakeres Kishmaita. So, one way to explain Rav Chista is that he was just talking about the first one. First one came out to be a girl, and what he's saying is, I preferred that the first one was a girl over that of a boy. The Rashbam himself admits it's not the best pshat in the Gemara. When he starts off the statement with the word lididi, he's talking about a personal preference. and having a girl over a boy, or having your first one being a girl over a boy, that's not a personal preference. There's an objective, and there's an objective improvement over there for the two reasons which the Gemara just got done saying. You have someone helping raising the children. You don't have to worry about the pishnayim. So the word lidid seems to be that Rav Chista is expressing a personal preference. So the Rashbam says, I don't think that's a pshat. Benir beinai shalom iskaim lo banim ki im banos lekach mit ave hayla banos velos yashiv li yafed da'ato shel Rav Chista. So the Rashbam then offers another pshat, which is maybe that Rav Chista never had boys. So for him, his girls are better, more preferred than his boys, because simply he never had boys. But the Rashbam admits, I really don't know. Meaning it's hard to wrap my head around. Around that pshat. If you take a look at Tosfos over here, I'm dropping now down to the third Tosfos on the Amud. So Perish Bekusha, so Tosfos quotes Rashi. So we find throughout the Masechta that Tosfos over here is quoting a Kuntra, say Rashi, which again we don't have. Meaning our entire Masechta, except for the beginning, is Rashbam. So it could be that he's quoting a Rashi manuscript. Could be that he's quoting Rashi throughout elsewhere in Shas. Either way, Perish Bekunsha Shalom is Kaim Lo Banim. The Ein Nira Da Harbe Banim Hayolo Kedashka Chan Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista Mar Yinuka Mar Kishisha Bnei Rav Chista. So the Gemara, so Tosfos points out, look, you just know a little bit of Shas, and you'll know that there are many sons of Rav Chista. So hard to entertain this idea that the Rashbam suggested, and Rashi as well, that Rav Chista had no sons. Rav Chanan, Rav Chista, V'chein, Rav Mari, Rav Pinchas, B'nei Rav Chista, Bagoz Basra. Okay, a lot of Gemars. Let's talk about the sons of Rav Chista. Elanir Lari, Dahachi Kamar, Bantan Adifalimi, Banai Lefishayu, Chasnav Gedole Hador, Rava, Marukva, Barchama. So Tosfos himself offers another pshat, and that is that he had sons, but his son-in-laws came out even better than his sons. Now, again, it's still strange, by the way, just something that you so openly admit, but they're Gedolei Hador, Tosfos says. They are the leaders of the generation. We know most famously, Rava was the son-in-law of Rav Chista, right? The Gemara often talks about Rava's wife just simply describing her as the daughter of Rav Chista, Bas Rav Chista. So and Rava obviously was he was a Baal Masorah. He was the Gedolei Hador. So another possible pshat in Rav Chista when he says that I prefer my daughters over my boys. Okay, we are back to the Gemara. So where are we right now in the Gemara? Just simply addressing a simple question. The Mishnah talks about a man pledging more money if he has a girl than that of a boy, which seems to indicate that there is a greater interest in having a girl than that of a boy. So what have we offered so far? Two pshatim in the Gemara. One is that we'll make a very simple distinction between Yerusha versus support. In terms of Yerusha, it's of course better to have a boy because now your estate goes to your son. When you have a girl, however, you know she's going to need more support, so therefore you create a larger trust fund for her. That's one pshat. A second pshat is that we're just talking about the first child that you have. The first child that you have, you should be hoping for a girl. It's better for a couple of reasons, which the Gemara articulated. The Gemara now is going to give a third pshat, e bayis ema. So we are back to the Gemara. We are a little bit less than halfway down the Amud. Last two words of the line, the e bayis ema. This is now going to be a third explanation. Hamani Rav Yehuda here, the author of the Mishnah is Rav Yehuda. Hi, Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, which Rav Yehuda are you talking about? Elam Rav Yehuda de Bakol. Is it Rav Yehuda regarding the word Bakol? De Tanya, the Gemara quotes, a bris of Hashem berachas Avraham, Bakol. Kadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avraham, Bakol. Rabbi, what does that mean, Bakol? Right, it's the end of Parshat Chayisara. It's after his wife dies, after he marries off his son, and now at the tail end of the life of Avraham Avinu, the Torah says that Akash Baruch Hu blessed him Bakol. What does that mean, Rabbi Meir Omer Shlo Hayelo Bas? So Rabbi Meir takes the position which is that he didn't have a daughter, meaning the bracha that Avram received is not having a daughter. I know that's harsh. I understand that. I'm not going to quote it, but I'll just tell you, take a look at it. Take a look at the Torah Tamima over there on that pasuk. He says something which is interesting and almost incredible. But, okay, you can ask me later. I'll tell you. But anyway, Rav Yehuda Omer Shaisalo Bas Ubakol Shema. Now, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion, no, that the bracha that Avram received, Hashem Beirachas Avram Bakol, is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Avram a daughter, and in fact the daughter's name was Bakol. So the Gemara says, fine. You know what we just learned from Rav Yehuda, that having a daughter in addition to having a boy is a great thing. But that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is it's preferential to have a girl than that of a boy. That's one step further. The Gemara says we're looking at the idea that a girl is preferential than that of a boy. So the Gemara says, Elar Hab Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, oh, it must come from the following. Detanya mitzvah lazonas abanos, v'kavacham elabanim, de'aski b'torah, div Rab Meir. So, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Braisa says that it is a mitzvah to support your daughters, and how much more so is it a mitzvah to support your sons? According to Rav Meir, it's a kavachomer because your sons, not only are your biological children, but in addition to that, they're also learning Torah. So, if you have a mitzvah to support your daughters, you for sure have a mitzvah to support your sons. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, mitzvah lazonos abanim v'kavachomer labanos, de'lo litzalin, de'lo litzalan. So, the Gemara says that you have a mitzvah to support your sons, and how much more so you have a mitzvah to support your daughters so that they do not become degraded. So the so this shita of Rav Yehuda is clearly showing that there's a particular favoritism to having a daughter, at least supporting the daughters that you have. Okay, truth of the matter is that this sounds very similar to the first pshat of the Gemara, that it's just, in other words, that when it comes to the girl, so you have more of a requirement to support them. Not necessarily that a girl is preferential to a boy. It sounds a lot like the first pshat, but okay, anyway. All right, that brings us to the, not to the end of the whole entire discussion, but at least it just addresses the basic question. Our Mishnah is talking about a man pledging 200 versus 100 if he had a girl than that of a boy. Why more for the girl? So the Gemara gave a number of suggestions. We continue now in the Gemara. El Ahad the time, the Gemara says, okay, now we have another Braisa. Yalda Zachar Nekeva. Now, I'm going to read the Braisa. I'm going to translate the Braisa. It's a little strange. And the Gemara itself is going to note that, and the Gemara is going to give a pshat in the Braisa. Yalda Zachar Nekeva. A man gives birth to a male and a female. Zachar also Shisha Dinarim. So the boy is going to take 6 dinarim, and the keva natal shnei dinarim, and the girl is going to take 2 dinarim. Okay. Now the dinar is 25, so we're talking about 150 versus 50. Okay. So and that's not like our Mishnah. Meaning our Mishnah talked about where the man pledged 200 for the daughter and 100 for the son. And what's going on over here? So Bimai. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about over here? I'm Rav Ashi. I'm Yisrael Shmaitik. I'm Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi says, I said this in front of Rav Kahana. Bimisares. So the way he understands it is that he made a conditional statement, and that is to Amar Zachar Tchila Masayim Nekeva Acharav V'lo Klum Nekeva Tchila Mana Zachar Achareha Mana. The person was having twins, right? Now we could say it. A person is having twins, and he basically made the following conditional statement. If what comes out first is a male, so he's going to receive 200, and the female that follows afterwards is going to receive 0. If the female comes out first, so she'll receive a mana, and zachar achareha mana. And then the male that comes afterwards, after her, is going to receive 100. Okay. Again, what's motivating him? What's behind his conditional statement? I don't know. But in other words, and now, how do you explain then the Braisa? If this is what his conditional statement was, the Gemara goes on to explain. So then what happened is that they came out, but it was lighting wasn't good in the room, and we don't know which one came out first. So in other words, we know how it came out, a male and a female, and we don't know the order. So now we don't know how to satisfy his condition. So zachar shakal mani mimanav shach. So look, we know that the male is going to receive 100. Because on either side of the condition, the male was entitled to 100. Fine. Now idach mana have a mamana muta basafik v'cholken. And now for that next 100, so now if the male was the one to come out first, he would receive all of it. If the female were to come out first, she would receive that second 100. Since we don't know, so the money is split. This seems to be a shout out to the opinion of Simchus, who says Mamana Muta Pasafik Cholkin. So let's just say it right now succinctly and simply. Yes, it seems to be supportive to the opinion of Simchus. Not necessarily, but Tosfos discusses that. But anyway, let's continue. V'had etanya yalda zachar nekeva ein lo ela mana. So the Gemara says we have another brisa, and the second brisa is talking about a man. Well, let me just read and translate the brisa. If she gives birth to a male and a female, ain lo elamana. Well, all he's going to get is 100. What's that talking about? So hechemishkachala maravina bimivasreini. So the Gemara says that case is talking about not where you're giving the money to the child, but you're giving money to the person who's giving you the news. Ditanya. And now the Gemara is going to quote another brisa that's going to support this idea. The brisa reads hamivasreini the person who is going to be sharing the news with me in terms of what my wife had. So, if what he did, the news that he tells me is that I just had a boy, so I'm going to give him 100. And if I have a girl, so I'm going to give him 100. So yalda nekeva no tamana. Yalda zachar unekeva ein lo ela mana. So the Gemara says, and if I have a male and a female, so I'm only going to give him 100. V'azachar nekeva lo amar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but he didn't say zachar nekeva. Da amar nami im zachar unekeva nami tamana. So the Gemara says, no. In other words, he added that clause as well, where he said that if it's a male and a female, so then he's going to only take 100. So el lamute mai. So the Gemara says, okay, so basically, if I have a boy, 100. If I have a girl, 100. If I have a boy and a girl, 100. So
a lot of money.
Right. So and the Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. So what are you excluding? So the Gemara says lamute nefal. So the Gemara says it's excluding a nefal.
Well,
right. That's a good point. Good question. So if Rahman al-Slan, if what comes out is a stillborn, so then he's not going to be owing any money.
Whom would he owe it anyway?
In other words, no, to the mevaser, to the one who was giving him the news, right? Right. Similar to the old custom, which is no longer giving out cigars. So okay, instead of giving out cigars, he's giving out money, and only to the person who's telling him. Okay, Hahuda Amar Lala Devasayo Nichsay Lahai Demavart Demavart. So. Okay. Sorry. Sorry, let's start that again. So, Hahuda Amar Lal Devasayu, person says to his daughter, Nichse Lahai. Huh? Right. So the. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. Right. Bias. So the amala devasayu nichse lahai demavart. So my nechasim are going to go to this one. So am Rav Huna have a mezakel uber va mezakel uber lokana. So to which Rav Huna's response was, what is he trying to do? He's trying to create a kinyan to a fetus, and by trying to create a kinyan to a fetus, so it doesn't work. Okay. Now. As we're about to see in just a moment. In other words, this is going to bring us back to a discussion which is a favorite topic of the Gemara. It's one that the Gemara talks about all the time, and that is creating a kinyan with a davish lo bal olam. Creating a kinyan with something that's not here yet. Now, before we start with the Gemara's discussion, let's make a very simple distinction, which the Gemara itself is going to make. I'm just going to say this on the front end, and that is the following. There is a machlokus which is quoted again and again throughout Shas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim about making a kinyan for a davar shelo bal olam. Meaning that, let's say, I want to sell you produce, but the produce hasn't simply come into the world yet. Meaning the tree's here, but the produce is not here, and so I'm going to sell you a crop that's not here yet. So does that kinyan work right now? Rav Meir says yes, and the Chachamim say no. Rav Meir allows for a kinyan with a davar shelo bal olam. Over here, however, it is more challenging because over here you're trying to create a kinyan, not with the item being sold not being here, but the recipient not being here. Under those circumstances, as the Gemara is going to tell us, there's no debate. Meaning, to create a kinyan where the item of transaction is not here yet, but it's coming, so there, at least we can entertain a discussion that I know it's not here, but you know, it's probably going to come. But if I'm trying to create a transaction with a person who's not here yet, that's really challenging. When I say really challenging, what I really mean is it can happen. Meaning, I know the person's coming, but the person's not here yet. How can you create a transaction for something that's not here yet? And so, the Gemara starts off the discussion by saying that a person wanted to create a kinyan with an uber, with a fetus. And Rav Huna's response is, well, that's not going to work. It's a davar shelo bala olam. And we're not talking about the money. We're talking about the recipient. He's not here yet. To which the Gemara says, Eitzvei Rav Nachman le Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna, on one hand, I hear you. On the other hand, what about the Mishnah we start off our day with? The Mishnah says, Ha'omrim yalda ishti zachar yitol mana. Yalda zachar no tamana. So what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah talks about a man who is pledging money to his unborn son. And the Mishnah says, if what comes out is the son, he owes the son money. You know the Mishnah. You learn the Mishnah. What are you going to do with the Mishnah? Yeah, right.
Wasn't it conditional?
Right. In other words, So stay tuned. So Amalei Mishnah Sina and Yadia Mishana. So Rav Huna's response to Rav Nachman is, look, I know it's a Mishnah. I hear you. I'll tell you what. The authorship of the Mishnah is a mystery to me. I don't know. I cannot explain who the author of that Mishnah is. So the Gemara says, really? The Mishnah is such a mystery? Why can't you simply assign the Mishnah's authorship to Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says that a person can make a kinyan for a davar shelo bala olam. The Gemara now is going to make the point that we already made just a couple of moments ago. So the Gemara says, look, if the item that is being transacted is not here yet, so Rav Meir says, yes, it works. But if the person is not here yet, it's simply not going to work. Okay, so the Gemara says that it just simply, even according to Rav Meir, it's simply not going to work because the person is not here yet. So the Gemara says, "Valema le Rav Yosi yidamer uber kani." So the Gemara says, "Well, what about the opinion of Rav Yosi? Rav Yosi says that you can do kinyanim with a fetus. Did non uber posel veina machel de Rav Yosi? Rav Yosi is of the position that when you have a fetus, so he is a posel and eino machel. What is this talking about? The Rashbam over here quotes Perek Amana Biyavamos." Basi Sol, she needs this a Kohen. We're talking about a Basi Sol who's married to a Kohen. Umeis vihinicha mu'uberes. And the Kohen dies, but she was left pregnant. She is a pregnant widow. Lo yochlu avadeha b'truma mimne chelko shel ubar. So, So the avadim are not allowed to eat the truma. Because, such an interesting halacha, the fetus in utero, even though when it emerges it's going to be a kohen, dad was a kohen, the baby's going to be a kohen, but status of kahuna only comes postpartum. Mm-hmm. The fetus in utero, while it is in the mother, it does not have a kohen status. So the uber is going to disqualify. The uber will not be able to enable the avadim to eat truma. Klamar, I'm just reading the Rashbam. Sha uber shenitzaber Yisrael is mekohen ba'ala shemeis posel etha eved melachol b'truma mnei chalko de uber b'mnei zara zarhu v'lo karina be v'yalid be so. Simply that the baby is not born yet, the baby does not have coin status as yet. likros kohen achi atzal aver olam. Ve'eno machlas imo yisraelis she'ivras amekon dekaimelon hasam she'achas b'shum v'shul b'na kohen kilo bala kohen chai kedichsi v'ilid beiso. Also additional to that is that once the baby's born, mom can eat truma as a result of her son. But that's only postpartum, that's only after delivery, not in utero. So the Gemara says, this is all the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. What comes out from all this, clearly, is that the fetus in utero, according to Rabbi Yossi, has a portion in the truma. Meaning, what you could have said from the very beginning is that the fetus in utero just simply can be totally ignored until it emerges. Clearly, Rabbi Yossi says the fetus is not ignored. The fetus has a portion. And because the fetus does not have a kuna status until it emerges, therefore, the eved of this family can eat truma, and the mother can eat truma as well.
What about that point that who's expecting and becomes widowed and goes to her father's house? Because of the fetus, can she eat truma from her and she's pregnant? And based on this case?
No. Let's just deal with the case in hand. So you see that according to Rav Yossi, I'll speak after. So you see that from Rav Yossi, a fetus can have a share in the estate. So the Gemara says, so if all that's true, so why can't our Mishnah subscribe to the viewpoint of Rav Yossi? Shani Yerusha Abba Me'eleha. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's true, but that's something which is automatic. Meaning that when the Kohen is born, he's automatically going to receive a portion, so therefore even in utero, he's going to be receiving a portion. So the Gemara over here says, but that doesn't mean that you can create a kinyan, a quote-unquote artificial kinyan, that's not artificial, but in other words, you can't manufacture a kinyan for a fetus. Rav Yochanan Baruch Hu Amar Lo Shna Yerusha Velo Shna Matana Denan. Rav Yochanan Baruch Hu Omer Im Amar Amisha Rali Yarsho Dvarv Kayamim. So the Gemara says, well, what about the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Broka? So Rav Yochanan ben Broka is of the opinion that if you have a son, you can divert your entire estate to one of your sons. The Gemara says, that's true. That's true, but that's only if the son is here. If the son is not here, so you can't do that. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe it is the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Broka, coupled with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Meaning Rabbi Yossi says that an unborn child has a chelek. And then let's put that together with the opinion of Yochanan ben Broka, which means that you can divert estate to your son, and if you couple it together with Rav Yossi, even your unborn son. So the Gemara says, well, we don't know that Rav Yochanan ben Broka and Rav Yossi necessarily subscribe to one another's opinion. Okay, so this is going to be a run-on sentence that will continue. I'll pause over here at this point in time. Okay, let's just quickly recap what we saw together today. We talked about the tumtum and the status of his gender. He's male. We don't know if he's male. We don't know if he's female. And as we talked about, it could be that he's the third option to bury b'fnei atzma. Our Mishnah may be reflecting both viewpoints, meaning the first part of the Mishnah may be just simply an unknown, and the second half of the Mishnah clearly is reflecting the viewpoint of Rav Shimon Gamliel, which is that a tumtum is a bury b'fnei atzma. The Mishnah certainly seems to indicate that there's a certain benefit to having a girl than that of a boy. We saw that because the man was ready to assign more money for a girl than that of a boy. And the Gemara in today's Amud Aleph discussed that, yeah, in certain areas, in certain respects, it is favorable to have a boy over a girl. And certainly to have a firstborn being a girl than that over a boy, the Gemara identified two benefits to that. Rav Chisda made a statement which is really difficult to understand, how he favored his girls over his boys. And the Rashbam struggled with the statement of Rav Chisda. And I quoted Tosos this morning, who gave a pshat. And then the Gemara quoted a couple of brises this morning regarding about how he's assigning money for a boy versus a girl, and we gave shot in the couple of brises that we went through where basically he made conditional statements, we don't know what happened, and as a result of not knowing what happened, so Mamana Mutal B'Safek is Yachloku, is to be divided. And then the remainder of today's daf, which we ended today, is discussing how in the world can a person make a kinyan for with his unborn child, where he says that if it's a boy, I'm giving this much, if it's a girl, I'm giving that much. In other words, he is trying to make a kinyan with a fetus. And you can't make a kinyan with a fetus. And Rav Huna, in fact, ruled where a man was trying to create a kinyan with his fetus, and Rav Huna says it doesn't work. And even Rav Meir's viewpoint of a person can make a kinyan with a davar shelo bala olam, that's only talking about where the item that I'm transacting is not here. But if the person is not here, for sure it's not going to work. And so, to that question of what about our Mishnah? So right now, what we're struggling with, and we'll continue to struggle with into tomorrow's daf as well, is Rav Huna basically says, I don't know who the author of our Mishnah is. The Mishnah that says you're making a kinyan with a fetus, it's not Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir only allows the item being transacted not to be here. But if the person's not here yet, it doesn't work. And the Gemara rules out the opinion of Rav Yossi. Our Mishnah's not like Rav Yossi. Our Mishnah's not like Rav Yochanan ben Broka. And basically, what the Gemara is going to do is just simply struggle in terms of identifying who the author of our Mishnah is.